Listen, that a man of faith, we have, let me be like this, that a minister, whether he has faith or not, we have troubles, is guaranteed. Do you know why? Without the affliction, he can't minister effectively. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's why Joshua, with all the faith he had, couldn't enter the promised land one day ahead of the rest of Israel. Could he? Did he have faith? Did Caleb have faith? Did they enter one day ahead of anybody else? No. Not because God couldn't take them in by themselves, but you are supposed to take people in with you. So you have to wait until the people you are taking in are ready. It is interesting if I say this. That is why if God says to go and preach to poor people, you go poor for a long time. Not as if you don't have faith. It is just that you must carry them along into prosperity. No, I know what I'm saying. That is why, look, next year I'm going to do, either later this year or early next year, I'm going to do spiritual, economic empowerment and development strategies. Because I want to be rich, and until you guys decide to be wealthy, I'm not going anywhere. You are getting what I'm saying. So please, you guys, I've suffered enough. All of you must break through so that we can all break through together. No, believe me, I discovered recently I'm going to fly a private jet. I also discovered I'm not going to buy it. It must be a present in Jesus' name. Amen. It must be a present. Amen. It must be a present. That is why, look, you're in Nigeria, never go quench your light. There's nothing you can do about it. Because without the regular quenching of your light, you won't know how to generate power for everybody. You won't know the importance. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You will not understand the importance of digging inside and solving problems. You know, you have never gone through it. And now, Paul was explaining that principle, you have to note it, okay? So he said, there's something else he said there which I want to emphasize. Now, talking about this minister thing, he emphasized the issue that, number one, if we are suffering, there is a reason for it. It is needless suffering that's not good. Look at what he's saying. Verse 6. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. All right? And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Now, this is the point I'm making. Now, that Paul was making, I want to bring out. Now, the affliction made sense as long as it was for the blessing of somebody else. Do you get what I'm saying? What I believe, this is my persuasion. You know, I told you before that Jesus was a human being when he was on earth. Before he came down, he may have been God. Do you get my point? But when he came down on the earth, he was a regular boy who was likely to bite somebody who took his toy until he was taught, he learned obedience. The Bible said through what? The things that he suffered. All right? So, look, parents, please learn to give small suffering to your children. God taught me that one before I started having children. So, he tell my son, Olubenga is very stubborn. I said, that's when I'm not around. If I raise my voice, you will see the fear in his face. We are good pals, so we play, we jump, everything. But when the issues are down, he knows who's the boss. You know why? He's learning obedience through the regular suffering that I give him when he goes into disobedience. Do you get what I'm saying? No, that's it. All right? So Jesus was like that. So his revelation of his mission in life was progressive. I explained to you before that when the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, spoke to him that, come and heal my daughter, and he said he couldn't do it because the bread belonged to the children, all right? That what the woman told him, please hear clearly, was something he didn't know before. It was something he had not thought about. It's not as if he didn't have the capacity to know it. But he hadn't thought about it. So when the woman had been begging him for a long time, do you think he was a kind person? Answer me. Do you think Jesus was kind?
Yes.
Did the Bible not command that, don't tell your neighbor to go tomorrow and come back if you have the thing with you there?
Yes.
So why didn't he give it to her immediately? You know why? He didn't know he had it. So the woman was begging up and down. Jesus said, this case, this one is not my case. Just wait small. The woman was harassing her at a point in time. The disciples came and said, "Dear Lord, this is an embarrassment. We saw a dead man, we raised him, nothing spoiled. We saw crippled people by the road, we dispensed of them. Evil spirits, they were flying like this. This woman is following us around, embarrassing us like we can't heal an ordinary small girl. Please send her away." Now, you know, I'm adding my own story to it too. They didn't say it like that. What they said was that, "Please, this woman is disturbing us. Send her away." So the woman, Jesus called the woman to explain to her why he couldn't help. No, there was no trick in it. He wasn't playing trick with the lady. "Look, this is why I can't help you. The anointing I have, even when I send my disciples out, I tell them not to go beyond certain areas. The anointing right now works only for the children of the covenant. All right? Those who are the covenant of Moses. It doesn't work for anybody else right now." So he said, "This is the children's bread." And the woman gave him a revelation that made him understand that the woman will get it by force. He said, "I agree. But don't crumbs fall down when the children eat? And the dogs that you say is not right to give them the children's bread, don't they eat the crumbs?" She said, "Ah, in that case, it's okay, you are healed." Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Yes. Listen, I'm explaining something. It was a revelation to him. And believe me, his revelation was progressive. The way he knew he was about to die, listen, was when the Gentiles came, some Greeks came and wanted to see him. Do you know he didn't answer them? Just the disciples, yeah, it has happened. No, from that time he knew that the end had come. When he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, listen, these people were talking to him. Moses and who? Elijah. What were they discussing? They were discussing what was going to happen. Believe me, they were giving him revelation of what was going to happen next in the ministry. I know what I'm telling you. I'm not joking about it. There's a place where I'm going in all of these stories. The final revelation he got in the garden. All the other understanding he had was carrying out. But then when it was time to now face the cross, oh boy, the weakness of the flesh spoke up. That this one is hard, though. And I've taught you before about the principle of prayer. Please don't ever do strong man before God. In fact, before yourself, don't ever do strong man. Listen, I'm not afraid. Boy, if you're afraid, you're afraid. Shouting "I'm not afraid" does not mean you're not afraid. What fearful Christians do, that's what is important. They don't run away. They run to pray. Do you get what I'm saying? They go before God and say, "God, let me tell you the truth. I am afraid, though." Do you understand? It is not that I'm afraid of, I won't do it. It's I'm afraid of, "Please, if you don't strengthen me, I can't." Do you follow the point I'm making? So he went to pray and said this simply. "This is a difficult one. If it is possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And then the Bible says that angels came and strengthened him. This is my persuasion. That was when the understanding and revelation of what was laid in store for the whole earth, if he will go through it, that's what was given to him. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is what gave him the strength to go through that final suffering was the understanding that one day you and I will settle down here with all the crosses that was placed upon him. Gone. You know, yesterday, I was watching TV again. It was yesterday or today. Because I had not watched news for some time. So I was catching up what was happening in the American presidential race. And I was gladdened to find out that Brother Obama was in front already. I said, "Oh, well." And then Lehman Brothers now collapsed. Barclays Bank is buying up one of the biggest investment banks in the world. I said, "Ah." So economy is shaky, 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 shaky. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when it comes to economy, Americans trust Barack Obama more than they trust McCain. So it appeared to me like, did I say bros go win the election? And listen, and I prayed there again. I said, "God, I don't know him. I know he's even a Libra. He's a Christian, but I don't like some of his views on some issue. But he's a black man. And for a black man to become American president, it is a spiritual lesson that the cause of harm has been removed." Do you follow what I'm going to say? My friend who lives in America, I said, "Look, that the guy has come this far. He has told every black guy in America that you don't have a reason to fail. Because the story they all have to tell is that I'm black." He told me that what you see in movies is the truth. That you see black boys wake up in the morning, they have nothing they are doing. Just hanging around the streets, chewing gum, playing basketball. Nothing to do, they start dealing drugs. Why? Because unconsciously in their minds, they've been told you can never do well. Listen, when they go out to school, the teachers remind them, you can never do well. They push the black kids towards sports and everything. That's where you know, you can't know mathematics, you can't know physics. It's in their brains. That's why John Johnson started Ebony. To tell the black people that, look, some guys have gone ahead of you, you can do it also. So my friend said, if Barack Obama wins this election, no black man in America can talk again. The guy is so black that, I know his mother was white, but listen, his younger brother, his half-brother, he lives in Kenya still. Very poor boy like this. Now, I'm going to bring out something. Let me say that on my message. That why Jesus could take the suffering was when he was explained to him that one day, a black man will rule America if you just go to the cross. Ah, he said, is that so? No problem there. Where's the cross? Let us climb. You are getting the lesson there. Listen, because listen, it's not. You heard me say it several times. It's not a joke that every bad thing. You know. Look at these South Africans. They are just embarrassing me. You gave them spawn independence the other day. Allowed the black kids to vote. Now they are kicking out the president out of office. You know, I felt so bad. I felt so bad. I felt very bad. If I one guy said, why this is just 6 months to the end of the guy's tenure? Why do you just want to drive him? I felt like I prayed for South Africa. I said, God, may these people not shame us. Thank God for Barack Obama that would deflect eyes away from them. Yeah, because listen, the white man ruled that country for a very long time. They prospered so much that they are the only African country that was found worthy to host the World Cup. The infrastructure to do that was not built by the blacks, it was built by the whites. When we wanted to develop an economy in Nigeria, where did all the investment in Nigeria was jumping in from South Africa? It wasn't by the blacks. It was as the reason why the black man was never the one to bring up such things. With all the oppression, listen, with all the unrest in that country, the white people built a strong economy in that place. You give black bros rulership for a few years, never begin to take life for South Africa. The day I saw the joke on one of these DSTV channels, I laughed. They were making a mockery of the whole thing. One woman crying. I can't iron anymore. She was crying. And then the people filming her were using candle as light in the studio. That was an embarrassment. More embarrassing because, anyway, good for Thabo Mbeki. A few years ago, he was arguing that HIV does not cause AIDS. The same man, they told him 5 years ago that if you don't upgrade the power supply system, in 5 years' time, it will begin to collapse. 5 years exactly, it began to collapse. And he did not do anything 5 years before then. Now I told that the witch that worries the black man is in his head. He tells him the wrong things to do, and he does the wrong things. But let me sit on my message, I beg. I digress too much. What's my problem? My lesson, all right, what I'm not bringing out of there is this. That for Jesus to understand that his death on the cross is going to remove all these hindrances from your life and from mine was enough, you follow what I mean, incentive to go through that cross. So affliction makes sense when it is bringing out positive value in the life of other people. That look, for me, I don't care, look, you know, it's actually interesting that I'm teaching this when there's no light. It's good. It's an affliction. Do you follow what I'm saying? Like when the rain was falling very hard earlier, one thing I always determine in my mind, that anybody who comes through the rain to this place must be blessed. Listen, I won't tell you stories. Say, sorry, this rain is too much and there's no light. Let us go home. Even like I did last time, even if I can't record, no, you must go home with something. Do you get my point? Affliction must always produce something. You go through suffering, it must be adding something to somebody's life. And that's how I count life. Your mates in America, they live in skyscrapers. That's their problem. They don't teach way of success. They don't teach Bible exegesis. They don't teach way of word of the kingdom. I do. You get what I'm saying? Is it blessing the lives of people? Yes. This, you know, remember that my shirt? This is it again. A sign of a life transform. Remember the shirt? Yes. Ah, all of you have forgotten. I told the story. This is the shirt. Anytime I wear it, so somebody traveled all the way from Delta State. Yes. and brought the shirt to show me that his life was transformed by the way of success. So, you know, you get my point. Paul said, affliction is for what? For your comfort. He said, even when we have become comforted, it is still for your comfort. So we can explain to people that, listen, if you are in the midst, all right, of affliction, we also were there. Now we have been comforted. That gives us the boldness to speak into the lives of people. And what I'm saying is making sense.
Yes.
Listen, that's the principle. Now, there's one last thing I want to bring out, then we'll leave it. Now, he now says something here. Verse 7, and our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Now, there are two things there when it comes to sharing of somebody's suffering and then consequently sharing of the person's comfort. You will notice something in verse 11. Let me just read from verse 10. It talks about God delivering us from death and all of that. He said, and he will yet deliver us. You also, verse 11, joining in helping us through your prayers. That's what I was looking for earlier when I said I was looking for a scripture. He said, you also joining in helping us through your prayers. That's verse 11. Now, the point I want to make from here is this. Talking about if you are sharers in our affliction, there are two ways, all right, you share people's afflictions. Number one, it can be because you have the same affliction yourself. Do you get the point I'm making? That is the kind of problem Paul was going through, that the other people were also going through the same kind of problem. That is one. Then secondly, it can be because you are participating with that person in his own affliction. And how do you do that? That's the point. Paul gave one example here, that you helping us with your prayers. You know, the Bible says something. It said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, all right, avails much. I always like to read that thing from the Amplified Bible. That's James chapter 5. Don't bother opening to it. I'll just read out to you. Now, that's in verse 16. He explained that effectual fervent prayer, that's King James, of a righteous man avails much. Now, he now said, if you read the Amplified rendering of that, verse 16, he said that the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available and is dynamic in its working. Now, that's the Amplified Bible for James chapter 5, verse 16. Now, you see that he talked about the prayer that makes power available. He said it is the prayer that is what? Heartfelt. What King James called effectual fervent prayer. Amplify used the word heartfelt. He amplified it with those words, heartfelt, continued prayer. So I'm talking about Paul, talking about people helping, all right, and being sharers in the affliction. I said, number one, you can be a sharer in the present affliction. The Bible said that Jesus was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Do you get my point? The same thing, that is, he went through what we are now going through. The same thing. And the second thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is also true. Because the Bible said that he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Till now, he's praying to God the Father about your problems. Bear that in mind. Don't ever forget it. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession. All right? Now, this point I want to make, that Paul was explaining to the people that you will partake in our comfort. And this is how it goes. One of the ways is that if you are participating with us in our affliction. And I said one of the ways you participate with people in the affliction is by this effectual, heartfelt, continued prayer. Let me say this again. Life is spiritual. Do you hear what I said? Life is what?
Spiritual.
Life is what?
Spiritual.
Life is spiritual. See, somebody who's suffering physically. I learned this one when we're dealing with pain when I was a medical student. From our college, they were teaching us about analgesia, how you solve pain. And there are two kinds of analgesics. Well, just let's just say the two types. There are painkillers that work at the site of pain. Like if you take aspirin, or you take ibuprofen, or Orvil, Panadol, all those painkillers, you know where they work? At the site of pain. If you injure your leg, it will swell. We call it inflammation. You now take an anti-inflammatory drug, like ibuprofen, you know, all those drugs, Cataflam, all of those drugs, that's what they do. They work against the inflammation, which is what manifests as pain. And they are very, very powerful. But the most powerful drugs, they don't work at the site of the pain. You know where they work? in your head. They don't look, if your leg is swollen, it will remain swollen. They don't even touch the brokenness if it is broken. No, the swelling continue. You know where they work? Your ability to perceive pain, which is in your brain. That's where they go and block. And those are the most potent painkillers. In medicine, we call them opiates. We call them opiates. One of the most potent ones, if I tell you, is heroin. Heroin is good, man, you know. I mean, those days. Yeah, I'm serious. It was banned because it easily addicts patients. No, I'm not joking. It was a drug. What do you think? You think it was always a... No, it was a drug. The cheaper one, well, the less potent one is morphine. And the different ones have been made, all right? Some of them are several times more potent than heroin. Except that they depress your... Things like fentanyl. They are very, very potent. But if you take fentanyl, you won't breathe again. So only anesthetists use it while the patient is asleep and they are breathing for the patient. So because if for any reason they can't use their regular drugs to keep the patient asleep, all right, maybe the heart is weak or stuff like that, and they're about to finish the drug, the surgery, they give the guy fentanyl. He won't even feel the surgeon's pain. But he won't breathe. So at that time, they are breathing for the patient. The patient is on a machine, all right, and they are breathing for the patient. There are a lot of drugs that are extremely potent. Pain-wise, if I remember one of my bosses when I was in school, Mr. Morgan, well, that's what surgeons love to call themselves, they train in Britain, all right? Mr. Morgan said he doesn't know why they banned that drug, heroin, when he was teaching us about burns, how you handle burns patients. I remember, it was one that gave us the lectures on burns, that when people have a certain degree of burns, it can be extremely painful, very, very painful. He said those days when he was a junior resident, then when he was doing his postgraduate in UK, then heroin was legal. He said, once they bring the burns patient, you do it. He said, you just give the guy a shot of heroin. He goes to sleep, you go to sleep. Everybody goes to sleep. That was how he told us then. It was very, very funny. He said, everybody goes to sleep. Everybody goes to sleep. But that one day, they just came and said, it's addictive, and they banned it. He was very angry when he was telling us, now you have to be giving morphine. Every few hours, you have to get up and go and give the drug. Because he said, the patient will not sleep. You can't sleep because you have to be giving the drug. Well, I'm telling the whole story, all right? Not just to excite you, but to tell you something. Pain has different levels. There's physical pain, all right? Then there is the mental one. That is the perception of pain. Now, hear me. There is a level that goes beyond the mental one, which is spiritual. You haven't felt anything, yet you are dying. That was Jesus in the garden. One nail never touched him. They sweat blood. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, this is what I want you to understand. That's spiritual pain, all right? Listen, the mental pain can be transferred to somebody else to an extent. Do you get what I'm saying? If you have felt a kind of pain before and you have been comforted, the next time you see somebody in that kind of pain, you instantly start feeling it again. You are seeing it. You know what this fellow is going through. You close your eyes. You almost start shedding tears. That pain is being transferred to you mentally. And a little bit of it spiritually. Do you get what I'm saying? But then, the height of the spiritual one is that you will suffer like the person is suffering. The person can't sleep, you can't sleep. You are not there. He might be in New York, and you are in Nigeria. The guy is not sleeping, you are not sleeping. Listen, as far as God is concerned, both of you are going through the same thing. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is when you pray a prayer and God hears. You know, the kind of prayer that God bless your son, bless them, help them, stretch your hands towards this fellow is good, you know. Those small, small voltage prayer, 1.5 volts. If you add it together, it may come up to something. I don't know, maybe. But you know these three wires that run flat across, above NEPA, horizontal ones? They carry 11,000 volts. Those ones that run through the bush, those ones carry 330,000 volts. That is the kind of voltage you release when you are in pain. And when I say when you are in pain, not just you are in pain, but spiritually you have connected with somebody else's pain. The person groans, you groan. Sometimes you don't even know. You know the way God does things, it can happen. Now listen, later on we'll talk about spiritual manifestations. Listen, it can happen that you don't even know somebody is sick. You don't even know a loved one, all right, or somebody you care about, all right, a relative, is in trouble. Yet, suddenly, depression grips your soul. You don't know why. You've heard no news. There's no GSM call. There's nothing. But you just can't rest. Listen, physical pain is the lowest level. The real one. That's why I said children don't know the meaning of pain. Children, they don't. No matter how much you afflict a child, he doesn't understand. Real pain. You know why? He has no fear of death. The concept of death means nothing to him. He doesn't know how he's going to hurt anybody if he dies. So he only cries for discomfort. When adults are in pain, listen, it's a spiritual battle. A man has children. He has a wife. He's in pain. He's been going on like that for the last few months. You know what he starts thinking about? What if I died? Why do you think he can't sleep at night? It's not just the physical pain. He thinks of his fatherless children. Oh, luau. No, I'm telling you, I think something about pain. There's a spiritual component to pain. And listen, you can participate in somebody else's affliction. That's what I'm saying. Even though you are not physically afflicted. It is possible. And that's one of the ways. But as a matter of fact, all right, there are people that God ordained that you feel their pain. Number one, your family members. I said you are a wicked soul. Number two, that's physically speaking. There's a spiritual family you belong to. There are friends that are your friends properly. Do you understand my point? Not just people you know their names and they call you once in a while. That is, and you see, you can't carry too many people's labels in life. You know you can't. You are not Jesus Christ, too. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Look, they tell me that a cyclone visited Texas. You know, certain coastal areas. I just remember that my brother-in-law had packed away from there. Then I phoned my friend Chooks. Oh boy, Shebi, did he not read Dallas now? How in a day? He said, the first impact I had a bit personally on the effect of Hurricane Ike on the Texas coast was the fact that he told me that his sister-in-law's house was leveled. That they have to travel down to, I think she was in Houston, to go and see her and see how they can help. Suddenly, look, one way or the other, I'm already connected. This is a very good friend. He's going to bleed financially. Do you get my point? If my friend is bleeding, I'm bleeding. Until that time, Hurricane Ike for me was just entertainment on CNN. Say, look at the houses. They use wood to build houses. What's wrong with them? Why didn't they use concrete? Now, that was a hurricane that destroyed, is it $6 billion worth of property? To me, it is just CNN entertainment. But when I heard that my friend's sister-in-law's house was destroyed, Now, please, I'm going to explain something. So, you see, you can't cover everybody's problem, everybody's affliction. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, you see? So, but there are people, if it's ordinary, they jam their knee against something. When you pray, God hears you. Listen, when you pray about your child, I'm not aware there's anything people feel closer to their heart than the pain of their children. Oh God, let us stop there because time is really gone, all right? But I hope you've learned something today.
Yes,
what I'm just explaining from there is that, listen, as you participate in people's affliction, that way you also participate in what? Their comfort. If I may just add it to it, the Bible says that you see the Pharisees, they go out, they pray loud. He said they have their reward. Can you remember that? I asked you a simple question. You know, said, when you pray, go to your closet. Then your father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Let me ask you a question. If I pray for a motor car and God gives me a motor car, is that a reward? See, it's hard for you to answer. You know why? Because it's not a reward. It's an answer. If I ask for stuff and God gives it to me, it's not a reward. So when Jesus was teaching that prayer, he wasn't talking about prayer for yourself. He was talking about prayer you take upon yourself for other people. So the Pharisees, they pray for the nation openly. God, deliver us from the oppressions of the Romans. And God said, the Romans were oppressing you because of your sin. But there are those like Hannah and Simeon who will pray personally in their closet for the redemption of Israel. And calling forth the Messiah of God. That's participating in the affliction of mankind. That's what I'm talking about. That is the one that Jesus said has what? A reward. There's a world of difference. There's not answer. what they get, even though sometimes the people may not get an answer immediately. But they have sown a spiritual seed, which begets for them what? A reward. I hope I've explained some things this evening. All right, let us pray.